Would you grab your Bible, please? Stand with me. Let's honor the reading of God's Word today. Isaiah 54. Our text is going to begin at verse number 11. Isaiah, the 54th chapter, verse number 11. We're going to read through verse 17, and I'll be reading from the NIV. If you carry a different translation, it might vary just a little bit. Isaiah 54, starting at verse number 11. Scripture says this. Now, God is speaking to the people of Zion. He said this, O afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted, I will build you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with sapphires. I will make your battlements of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious stone. All your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace. And great will be your children's peace. Praise God. You know what? Let's do this real quick. If you've got children or grandchildren, let's just lift our hands in this house right now. Call them by name and speak peace over them. Father, right now we declare peace over our children and grandchildren in Jesus' name. Father, I take a moment right now and I pray for all three of my kids. I pray for Jordan, Jonathan, and Carissa right now, Lord. Wherever they are, I pray they'll experience the peace of God in their lives right now. I pray peace in their minds. I pray peace in their spirits, Lord, and I pray it for every parent and grandparent in this room today that our kids will walk in the peace of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The devil can't have the next generation, folks. And a lot of turmoil, a lot of chaos going on, but according to Isaiah 54, verse 13, great will be our children's peace. Amen. I receive that. Amen. Verse 14, in his righteousness you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you and you will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. Praise God. Amen. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flames and forges a weapon fit for its work. It is I who have created the destroyer to work havoc. Watch verse 17, though, church. No weapon formed against you will prevail. Amen. One version says, no weapon formed against you will prosper, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Praise God. Receive Isaiah 54 today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of it in this place today. I pray it'll go forth with clarity. I pray it'll go forth with anointing. Lord, I pray it will penetrate our hearts. Lord, let us hide your word in our heart so that we will not sin against you. Thank you today for a fresh revelation from heaven in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. You may be seated if you promise to amen the preacher. Well, we're going to have fun today then. Everybody sit down. 2 years ago, I preached in this church a message called Living Above the Snake Line. I preached on snakes, put four of them up on the screen. Those of you that weren't here, those of you that were here may not even remember that. But since that time, the Lord has kind of turned this into a series, okay? So 2 years ago, I preached this. I'm going to bring to you a very original title today, okay? Living Above the Snake Line, Part 2. Isn't that powerful right there? It's Part 2, all right? So if you didn't hear the first one, you got to go back a couple of years and pick that one up. But this is Part 2. I'm going to pause, and I just want to share something like heart-to-heart with this church before I get into my main points today. I have been in full-time ministry this year. I celebrated 37 years, even though I don't look that old. I had to beg for it, but I got it, didn't I? 37 years I've been full-time ministry, 34 of those I've been a traveling minister. I've been an evangelist, traveling 34 years. But I've noticed something in 2019 that I want to share with you, all right? I've noticed something that hasn't been at such a high level in my prior years of ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, in 2019, I have never in my entire life in ministry seen God's people under attack like they're under attack right now. I've never observed it at a level that I'm observing it at. As I walk to the altars of America and I ask people, what can I pray with you about? I mean, some very serious, deep, intense stuff comes. I mean, it seems like hell had a staff meeting and said, 2019, we're really going after them. And you might be sitting there right now going, man, that's not me. I don't know what to... Or you might be sitting there going right now and you're going, yep, I feel it. And maybe you came to church today and you're in the middle of the biggest battle of your life. I've never seen the intense attack. Two things typically happens when a preacher or teacher takes a microphone and begins to speak. Again, just sharing from my heart here before I get to my main points. When a preacher or teacher takes a microphone and begins to share God's word with you, it typically will fall into one of two categories. The first one I call a reminder. For all of you can relate to the fact that sometimes you hear a sermon or you hear a teaching and it's something you've already heard. It's a verse you already knew. But it's a reminder to you. We all need reminders. We do. We need that. So we don't discount that, right? We don't, even though we've heard it before. A second possibility happens when somebody takes a microphone and begins to teach or preach. I call this one a revelation. Somebody shares a verse or shares a thought or shares a sermon, and it's something you hadn't heard or you hadn't heard it like that, and it's revelation. Anybody know what I'm preaching about right now? Has that ever happened to you? Okay, it's like, wow, that really resonates. That's really powerful. And thank God for revelation. So it's reminders or it's revelation. Typically, you walk out of every service you come to, and one of those two things has typically happened to you. Today, there's no doubt in my mind that you will probably exit this sanctuary saying, boy, that was a reminder. Because what I want to do today is I want to instill something into your spirit as a mandate from God, as a reminder that in the midst of every attack that you and I are going through, have gone through, or will go through, that no weapon formed against you will prosper in Jesus' name. It will not succeed. Throughout the course of this message, my assignment today from heaven is to declare over you in the midst of the battle that it will not succeed. Some of you are weary from the battle. Some of you are in the midst of a hard-fought battle that's been ongoing for a long time. But today I declare every attack of the enemy canceled on the authority of the Word of God. I deem it null and void. I stamp it return to sender. I remind you that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. I remind you that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. I remind you that the devil belongs one place, and that is under our feet, and that's where we're going to put him today as we exit this service. Thank God, no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Please don't miss this, church. The Bible does not say the weapon won't form, because it will. The attacks are real, but the Bible says it won't prevail. It won't prosper. It won't succeed. I'm having more fun than y'all, but I'm having a good time. It won't work. And I want to serve notice on hell today that the intense attacks that have been assigned to God's people will not succeed in Jesus' name. Living above the snake line. I want to revert back to a story I've already told in this church, but it's going to connect the dots for those of you that did not hear part one. A few years ago, I went vacationing with my parents, and we went to the Smoky Mountains, and I'm in this building reading informational stuff about the Smoky Mountains. So I'm standing in there, and I'm looking at this bulletin board, and I'm reading, and all of a sudden, this park ranger walks in. He's got a group of, I don't know, 12, 15 people, and he's giving a tour. Now, everybody's different, but for me, my learning curve is best served listening. I learn better by somebody teaching me than reading. My wife's an opposite of that. My wife is a reader, and she can read something and grasp it a lot better. Not for me. So when the option came, and this park ranger comes in, and he's talking, that's better for me and my personality. So all of a sudden, he's given this informational tour. I'm reading. Well, I quit reading. Now, I'm still faking it. I'm acting, but I'm really eavesdropping over here is what, how many ever eavesdrop? I'm going to give an altar call for liars if everybody don't put, huh? Come on. So I'm eavesdropping, I'm reading, acting like, but I'm really listening to this guy. He's giving this information. You know how those things are. Some of it you care about, some of it blah, blah, blah. I'm not referring to my sermon. So he goes through this whole deal. And he comes to the end, and he asks this small group of people any questions. Anybody got questions? Well, they start asking questions, and then all of a sudden somebody came to a question that caused my preacher radar to go up. Somebody said, what kind of animals are roaming through the Smoky Mountains here? Well, he starts going through all these animals, and he gets to this animal, the snake, and he starts telling this story I'd never heard. He starts telling this story about something called a snake line. Well, I'd never heard of a snake line. So he's sharing with this group that in every mountain range, there's an invisible line called a snake line. You and I can't see it. Now, everybody knows the higher you get in the mountains, the thinner the air, the harder it is to breathe. Evidently, you get so high up, a snake's body is not built to take in oxygen. So while you and I don't know where that is, snakes do know. So they won't go above that line. It's called a snake line. I'd never heard of that. I went and Googled it. I Googled it. I like saying Googled it. It makes me feel 30. I Googled it. All right. So it's a real deal. It has something to do with sea level and all that. It's a different line in every mountain range. And I'm just like, wow, it's a real deal. So the snakes won't go above that line. Keep smiling, both of you that are. Because I got to tell you how I prayed for you before you came into this church today. I prayed that the presence of God would just move in such a powerful way in this sanctuary that His presence would lift every one of us up so high we'd be above the snake line today in Jesus' name. That we would be looking down on every attack of the enemy. That literally the enemy would be under our feet today in this sanctuary. Lord, take us there, and not just for this Sunday service. Let us live there all the days of our lives, living above every attack, free from it in Jesus' name. That's where I want to live. Amen. Part one was four different snakes. Today, one snake, three characteristics, but don't get excited. It's not a shorter sermon. I'm having more fun again, aren't I? That's right. Today we're going to talk about one snake, the cobra. The cobra. I want to talk to you about three characteristics of the cobra. You can see on the screen right now, there is a picture of a cobra. There are three characteristics as I studied this out. We'll make the analogies. Number one, I want to talk to you about the fact that the cobra bluffs. It bluffs. Please bear with me just for a moment. I want to give you some information that's going to help my analogy here. Let me talk to you about the cobra just for a moment. When you read about the cobra, you find out that the cobra is not a particularly muscular snake. Also, it's got relatively small fangs. if you were, with the exception of the king cobra, if you were to put the cobras up next to other snakes and other pictures of snakes, you might look at the cobra and go, that's the wimp. That's the runt. Not very strong. Not very big. And that would be your view of the cobra. So what has happened, because it is strong, a cobra has developed an elaborate system of bluffing. The purpose is to intimidate anything that it might see as a threat. So what a cobra does when it feels threatened, it raises up and suddenly looks like a half umbrella is over it. We got another picture. There's what it does when it's trying to feel more powerful and more and bigger than it really is. So it feels threatened, it raises up with this. But you got to understand, it's a bluff. It's a bluff. I want to refer you back really quick to Genesis chapter 3. Remember Eve's conversation with the serpent in the Garden of Eden? We won't take time to read those verses, but remember Eve told the serpent in the garden, we can eat of any tree in this garden except for the one in the middle. If we eat of that tree, we're going to die. Next verse, Satan comes back and says, you will not surely die. Here's what I don't want you to miss. I don't want you to miss, church, that the very first time the devil ever opened his mouth to talk, he lied. He contradicted God. Eve said, God said this, the serpent came back and said, no, that's not true. How many of you know when we contradict God, it's a lie? Come on, that's a lie, that's not true. So he started lying from the beginning. First time he opened his mouth, it was a lie. The scripture says he's not only a liar, he's a father of liars. If he's talking to you, he's lying. He's bluffing. He's not that powerful. He likes to brag. He likes to raise up. He likes to intimidate me and you. And while you and I might feel like there are times when the attacks from hell are so strong and so heavy against us that they are more powerful than us, reminder, reminder, I want every child of God in the house to know today, while it may be more powerful than us, the attacks from the enemy will never be more powerful than the God that we serve, ladies and gentlemen. Not ever be more that powerful. For the God that is working in you and me has all power and dominion, even over Satan and every attack that he would bring against us. I want to know who at Coweta Assembly this morning is ready to call the devil's bluff. He's bluffing. He's lying. He's not that powerful. Bring it on, devil. I might not be able to defeat you, but the God that's working inside of me can take you down today. It's a bluff, Satan, and we're calling your bluff today. Second characteristic I want to talk about is that the cobra blinds. It blinds. There are two types of cobras, the Mozambique and the black neck, and these two have a characteristic that's kind of humorous to me. When they feel threatened, these two types, they feel like somebody's trying to attack them, they feel threatened. You know what they do? They spit. That sounds like some church people I know, amen. They spit. That's what they do. If they feel like somebody's coming against them, they'll spit. Now, they're not spitting saliva like you and I. They spit venom. That's what these particular cobras, these two, aren't aiming for our skin. Because if that venom, when they spit, hits our skin, it just burns us and leaves a rash. They're aiming for our eyes. Because if it hits our skin, it just burns. But if they get that venom in our eyes, it's going to blind us. So that's what they do. Cobras are very successful. That spit comes from that cobra at the same velocity of a water pistol. It can shoot from 4 to 8 feet. And studies done shows that 19 out of 20 times a cobra can nail a human being in the eye from 4 to 8 feet. A human being like you and me, we cannot move fast enough to get out of the way. It's shooting, but it has a purpose. It has an aim, and the aim is to blind us. What an attack that the enemy is bringing to the church today, trying to blind the church of Jesus Christ, trying to get us where we can't see God's ways and God's words clearly. I'm preaching better than you're amening right now. Blinding us. It's not a new trick. God talked about it, ladies and gentlemen, in the Old Testament. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5 and verse 21, God talked about people that have eyes but do not see. Isaiah 43 and verse 8 talks, God said, lead out those who have eyes but are still blind. It's one of the attacks of the enemy, trying to shoot for the eyes of God's people to blind us from God and His ways. And Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 gives a very strong, powerful revelation that you and I need to hear today. Isaiah 5 and verse 20 says this. Prophetically, Isaiah said, there will come a day when we begin to call good evil and evil good. Boy, are we living there, church? Is that where we're... You can't watch television without seeing people trying to call good evil and evil good. You can't read anything without it coming to light. They're trying to call good evil and evil good. I'm glad today, ladies and gentlemen, that the attack of the enemy that's trying to blind the church of Jesus Christ will fail on the authority of the Word of God. I said it will fail on the authority. Because you and I know that God and His ways will sustain the church all the days of our life, because no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. So I choose to do what the psalmist did in Psalm 141 in verse number 8. I will fix my eyes on the Lord, and in Him I will take refuge. I will keep my eyes on the Lord. So it bluffs. It blinds. Number three, my final point. Thank you for not clapping for that. I appreciate it. Is it bites? It bites. I told you earlier in this message that a cobra is relatively small. It's not very strong. And so what a cobra does when it bites is, unlike most snakes that will just kind of bite and run, they'll just get you and go. I mean, they'll just shoot the venom through you, and then they're out of there. That's not what the cobra does. The cobra will bite you and hang on, baby. It will latch into you and not let go. Those fangs aren't very big, but it's not going to let you go. Some of you are relating because you've been under attack for years. It's been the same thing over and over. It's almost like the enemy has come to you and it's latched onto you. Today, not only are we going to call the devil's bluff, but I'm going to command on the authority of the Word of God that the devil loosen his grip in Jesus' name. Let go, devil. You've held on long enough, and we're going to declare it loosened today in Jesus' name. I'm going to speak directly into the hearts and lives of people right now that have been in intense warfare, and it's battle, and it's exhausting, and you're tired physically, mentally, emotionally, and even spiritually. Thank God it's a new day today, and those fangs are loosening today, and freedom is coming your way. I love the way the worship team led us today. This is how we fight our battles, ladies and gentlemen, by giving glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. And the devil is going to loosen his grip in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to buy my own CD. How much are they? Amen. Would you trust me enough that if I took you to a different area in the Word of God and read a new text, would you trust me that I'm not starting all over? five of you. Okay. Anyway, here's what I want to do. I want you to see something. I don't want to just preach this, okay? So would you just grab your Bible, your phone, your iPad, ever how you look at the Word of God, because I want to take you to the New Testament, Book of Acts, and I want us to look at something here. Join me, please, over in the Book of Acts, chapter 28, Acts 28. Now, what we've got here is we've got Paul and a group of men. They're at sail. Storm comes up, and they get pushed to an island. Maybe a familiar story to some, but let's look at it as we close. Acts chapter 28, verse 1. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. A couple of things I want to point out before I actually preach this. First thing is, did you notice how fickle these people are? Dear Lord, he's a murderer. No, he's a god. Now, in case you don't realize it, that's one end of the spectrum to the other, folks. That people are fickle. What? You get under attack? Some of you know, you just watch how people start talking. You just watch how they jump on the bandwagon. Smile, church. I won't be here next week. I'm just one day. All right. Huh? People, it's just fickle. He's a murderer. No, he's a god. The second thing I want to point out is Paul was trying to do a good deed. It was raining. It was cold. He's trying to build a fire for everybody to get warm. He's trying to do a good deed, getting the brushwood, and all of a sudden, out of that wood, there comes a snake and fastens on his hand. Minding his own business, trying to do a good deed, and out of nowhere, he got attacked. Has anybody but me ever been attacked by the devil out of nowhere? It's like, whoa, where'd that come from? You're just doing your own thing, minding your own business, trying to help people. And man, out of that brushwood, that snake fastened to his hand. Now, the Bible does not say, Paul did not do this. The Bible does not say that when that snake fastened on his hand, Paul screamed like a girl and ran. That's what I'd have done, but that's not what Paul did. All right? Do you see what the Bible said about Paul? He just shook it off. Come on, everybody, take your right hand. Come on, let's shake it off. All up, come on. I want you to do that until the person next to you looks at you funny. Come on, yeah. Okay, they are. He shook it off. Now, Scripture doesn't stop there. The attack's out of nowhere among fickle people. He shook it off with no ill effects. It latched on momentarily. But those fangs, even if it sent poison through him, had no ill effects. Today, we're calling the devil's bluff. We're going to stay so far away from the enemy, he's not going to be able to reach us with that spit to blind us. And today, God's people, we're going to shake it off. And can I declare over every one of you, with no ill effects. something not going to come back up next week and get you. Something not going to come back up next month and get you. Something not going to rise back next year and get you. No, we're going to shake it off with no ill effects, because no weapon formed against us will prosper. Amen. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Because today we're all living above the snake line with the devil under our feet. The devil's a liar. Once again, in closing, I cancel every attack off of God's people in this house today. We are victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. I receive it today for me and my house.